We are talking about living a stress-free life. And how many of you have been watching Dr. Avery Jackson on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast? Isn't he good? Isn't that wonderful what they're bringing out? I just enjoy listening to him. Thank you very much. I just enjoy listening to him and the things that he has to say to us about the connection between the condition of the physical body and the things that we do, the things that we say, the things that we can do in our lives that will really accelerate and bring the healing power of God to the physical body, bring peace to the soul, and bring us into just another realm of living. And just think about it. When we were giving today, my brain was lighting up. My brain was just woo, 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 woo. It was brightening up. Because one of the things that they've done research on, medical research, is that the pleasure centers of the brain light up when people give. Yeah, they do. It does us good. It's therapeutic. It's a healing process that takes place. So I believe that we are smarter, we are brighter, we are sharper, and we are good looking. Amen. And we glow. We glow with the glow of God, and we brighten up. Yep, four of you got that one. Give me the international sign for brighten up. Cheerful. Cheerful. Do that again. I want to watch you. Very strange. Anyway. I should take a picture of that and use that for advertising for Eagle Mountain International Church. Come to EMIC and brighten up. So Dr. Avery Jackson is also going to be on this coming week, and he's going to be delving more into that. It was just amazing the things that he was bringing out. And the scripture, the foundation scripture that we are using is Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 30. And it says in the King James Version, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. In the Amplified Translation, a calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and health of the body. A calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and health of the body. In the Living Bible Translation, it says, a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. Not carrying care, not carrying worry, but a relaxed, not lazy, but a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. In the New Living Translation, it says, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy life. And one of the statements that we've been making over these weeks, this is the seventh part of this series, our quality and length of life is cut short or extended in relationship to how we handle the stress that surrounds us. Do we let that stress enter in? Do we let it in to our lives? Or do we do what it takes to keep it at bay, to keep it out from getting down on the inside of us, from allowing the devil to really just push our button and get our goat, as the saying says? No, we keep it away from us. And the things that we do, interesting connection between the health of the body and what we can do, what we need to avoid. But even this morning, Pastor Terry, she was earlier talking about the Passion Translation. And she was telling me about a scripture that she read this morning from Proverbs 25:28 in the Passion Translation. It says, if you live without restraint and are unable to control your temper, you're as helpless as a city with broken down defenses open to attack. So anger is one of those things. Rage, wrath is one of those things that opens the door. It breaks down the immune system. There are certain things that we can do that will break down the immune system. Anger is one of them. I mean, there's a whole list of them. We ought to just take a look at the list of those things that just affect us. But bitterness, holding unforgiveness towards someone else, it's really not doing you any good to do that. So we have to release that. We have to let that go. And when the image comes up of someone that has done you wrong, You need to train yourself, discipline yourself to just release them and let them go. I said, Father, I forgive them. And something else you can do, if you've done something wrong towards someone else, and maybe they're harboring that resentment toward you, you just say to the Father, Father, forgive me for that. Forgive me for what I've done. And what that'll do, see, those things are toxic. It's like drinking poison. It's like eating the wrong things all the time. It's going to affect the body. And we've got to connect the dots on this thing and really put them together. And that's why when I went and attended the taping of Dr. Jackson, it so affected me that as I listened to what he was saying and the connection between those things, and the medical science has proven these things out, things that the Word of God has already said, already done. So our quality or the length of life, it's cut short or extended in relationship to how we handle the stress and the pressure that surrounds us. And there's a lot of it out there. If you look at the news for any length of time, it's out there. And we've been doing, as I've told you, Terry and I, we used to watch Fox pretty much all the time, you know, watching it at dinner and so forth, seeing what the news was. But lately, I would say in the last year or two, it's been less and less and less. And the other night, we were driving home, we were out shopping, we were driving home, and I thought, well, I'll just turn on Fox. We've got Sirius Radio, so I turned on Fox, and just to hear it, I think it lasted about 13 seconds. I said, that's it. All they were doing is arguing with each other about things that are going on. And I just decided not to put that down on the inside. Am I ignoring what's going on around us? No, not at all. Not at all. I'm praying in the Spirit a lot. But I am not taking the care. I'm not taking the care of the things that are being said. Beto O'Rourke is talking about taking away the nonprofit status of churches who do not stand for LGBT as we should. I mean, it's out there. Somebody sent that to me the other day, an article about that. And my response was, oh, brother, really? God is a whole lot bigger than this, and so is the church. So is the church. So sometimes I look at that stuff and I just go, ha, 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 ha. Because it would be very easy to take it on the inside and begin to worry about it, to fret about it, to be in fear about it. No fear. No fear. No fear here. No fear here. That's something I'm preparing a message for us about, no fear. I'm working on that right now. Because that's one of those things that fear entering into the heart will do all kinds of things to the physical body. It'll do all kinds of things to a life. Job, he feared a fear and it came to pass. So fear is exercising faith in the dreaded outcome, as opposed to faith exercising your faith for the desired result. And I'm just not going there. I am not going there. I refuse to fear. I refuse to carry care, because I've seen something over the years, over my many years of living, I have seen something. Fear, anxiety, and sleepless nights do nothing except make you tired in the morning and grouchy. That's what it does. That's what it does. And so we have to be very watchful over what we're allowing in. We really should be gatekeepers over our own being, responsible for this city. For this city. It's like the scripture I just read you. If you live without restraint and you're unable to control your temper, you are as helpless as a city with broken down defenses open to attack. So we have to build up the strongholds on the inside, the strongholds of the Word of God, the strongholds of who we are in Christ Jesus, the strongholds of the authority that we have as a believer, and the stronghold of we are the healed. We are not the sick. Satan's trying to steal our healing from us. But we are the healed. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. We walk in the blessing of Abraham. What am I doing? I'm building up a stronghold so that when the devil attacks my mind, my words, my thought, My spirit immediately goes to the Word. Immediately coming out of my mouth. Terry and I were talking about a situation the other day. And I just looked at her and I went, ha, ha, ha. She went, ha, ha, ha. What does that do? That really puts us in a place of faith together. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So we're talking about getting rid of these things and overcoming stress. So if you're taking notes, you can write this down. I'll make it easy for you because we'll do a quick review. You can write this down on your paper. We overcome stress by. And then you can start making a list. We overcome stress by. And these are all the things you and I have talked about. First one, we overcome stress by casting all of our care onto the Lord. These are things we have to say over and over and over again until we get them, until they become real down in the inside. We overcome stress by casting all of our care onto the Lord. And the scripture that we use was 1 Peter 5:7 from the Amplified. It says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on Him, for He cares for you and effectually cares about you watchfully. So we have to cast that care. And how do you do that? You say it. In the name of Jesus, I cast my care. Say it. In the name of Jesus, I cast all my care, all anxiety, all worry, all concern, once and for all, on Him. Devil, shut up. There you go. There you go. You have to encourage yourself in the Lord. You have to encourage yourself in the Lord. Tell yourself who you are in Christ Jesus. Encourage yourself, and you need to embarrass the devil. Talk to him about when he was in the pit of hell and Jesus defeated him and he was raised up from the dead to be seated at the right hand with the Father, and that you and I are to be seated with at the right hand with the Father. Just remind him of what happened to him. And the fact, biblically, he's coming to naught. He's coming to zero. His stock is going down every single day. He is a defeated foe. And you are the victory. Say, I've got the victory. All right, we overcome stress. The next one, by laughing and rejoicing in the Lord. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah. By laughing and rejoicing in the Lord. We use Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I like the Message translation. A cheerful disposition is good for your health. Gloom and doom leave you bone tired. I just refuse to do that. I refuse to go there. How about you? All right. We overcome stress through a grateful heart. A grateful heart. We use Philippians 4:6 in the Passion. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer through each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. I spend time before the Lord thanking Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing in my life. Thank you for what you're doing in Pastor Terry, my family. Thank you, Lord, what you are doing at this ministry and in the church, in the Bible school. Lord, it's amazing what's taking place. And just practice being grateful for every good thing that He does for us. Research studies have found that expressing gratitude has lasting effects on the brain and the body. So I'm working on my brain. I'm doing some brain surgery when I'm giving gratitude to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I had a time this morning. We get up about 5 o'clock on Sunday mornings, and then I head upstairs to my office and just spend time meditating on the Word for a while. And then I begin to pray in the Spirit. I was praying in the Spirit this morning, and I was getting all kinds of great things. Just walking back and forth. I was so excited. I actually didn't want to leave that place. But except for you, I really needed to come in here and deliver this Word. Anyway, But I was having such a great time with him and just expressing gratitude for him for everything that he's doing and everything that he's done. There's at least one thing that you can express gratitude for from the Lord. Can you do it right now? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being so good. Thank you, Lord, for a great congregation. I am so thankful for this congregation. I am so grateful that you don't just stare at me just with your arms folded like this. I'm so glad there aren't people sitting out there and pointing at their watches. I'm so glad. I heard this one time from Creflo Dollar. He said in some black churches, he said they'll be sitting on the front row, and if the preacher's preaching too long, they'll say, bring it home. Bring it home, son. Bring it home. Come on, bring it home. I don't hear anybody saying, bring it home. You might be thinking about it. But anyway, I'm so grateful. I'm grateful. This is a great church. I'm telling you, this is a great church. And all of the people that are watching us from all over the world, I am so thankful. I was thinking about it this morning. We're driving into church. I'm at church. Anyway, we were driving in this morning, and I thought to myself, within 45 minutes, we'll be on the air live around the world. Hi. Hi. Bonjour. Anyway, it's just exciting. I'm so grateful. And then, we overcome stress by receiving the wisdom of God. Receiving the wisdom of God. Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. The wisdom of God is the answer to everything we face. It's everything we face. And so I encourage you a few weeks ago, stop saying, I don't know what to do. Just strike that. Strike that from the record. Strike that from your conversation. Strike that from your thinking. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And instead, you say, I believe I receive the perfect wisdom of God. By faith, I know what to do. Pastor, what are we going to do about that? I know what to do. Pastor, how are we going to handle this? I know what to do. CEO, what are we going to do about that? I know exactly what to do. Why? Because wisdom has been stored up for you and me. That really is a stress reliever to know that there's an answer to everything you're dealing with right now. There is an answer behind door number one. There is an answer available to you of what you need. Wisdom is the principal thing. With all thy getting, get wisdom. The last one we talked about, we overcome stress by walking in the peace of God. Oh, that was a good one. Walking in the peace of God. The older I get, the more peaceful I become. Really, the more peaceful on the inside. Not freaking out. Freak out. Is that a terminology still today? I asked Terry, I said, we need to find somebody that gives me the latest terminology of the day, but freak out. Anyway. Whenever I'm saying something like that, I look for a witness somewhere in the congregation. I got one today. But we overcome stress by walking in the peace of God. Philippians 4:6-7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And what we talked about last week was the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind and prevent stress from entering in. A peaceful heart. Somebody with a peaceful heart. You can tell. You can really tell someone that just has a peaceful heart. There's just something about them. Something about that peace that's on the inside, and it really does emanate to others. So the peace of God will guard your heart. It'll act as an umpire. The Amplified Translation says, and we also talked about this, we should allow peace to lead us in every decision that we make. Look for the peace in that decision. Look for peace on the inside. When you've got decisions to make and different things are happening, and you've got, do I do this or do I do this? Do I go there or do I go there? And just go before the Lord, meditate on Him, think about Him, and ask Him, what is your wisdom on this? And then look for the peace. I get peace about that. I've got peace about that. That's a phrase. That's a phrase that we use. I have peace. I've got peace about doing that. So we are led by peace. And the more you practice this, the more led by peace you'll become. And you can tell. You can tell by the inner witness of the heart, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You begin to become developed at doing that. And you can tell. You can tell, like Brother Hagin says, the inward witness, it's like a red light or a stoplight or a green light. Should we go? Should we stop? Should we move forward? It's like... He said that sometimes he would make a decision to do something, but then he'd think, it's like washing my feet with my socks on. There's something wrong about this. And you get to that place and it becomes a lifestyle. Walking in the Spirit becomes a lifestyle to each one of us. So we walk in that place of peace. So turn to Psalm 121. I'm going to add another one to it today. Psalm 121. I'm trying to get there. There we are. Psalm 121 and verse 1. I'm going to read verse 1 from the King James, then I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. Psalm 121, 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. All right. The New Living Translation really does clarify this a little bit more. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? No. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Let me give you a couple of statements that I wrote. Stress is the result of becoming overwhelmed with all of life's issues and responsibilities. That really is a simplified definition of what stress is. People become overwhelmed with all the things that are going on, all the issues that they're dealing with, whether it's family or finances or health or job or whatever it is, all of these things. And the devil uses the pile up technique. He piles it on top of you to where you really do say, I can't take anymore. I can't take one more thing. How can I take this? Well, stress comes out of becoming overwhelmed with all of these things, and you say, what do I do first? And you really, it's like a piece of machinery getting locked up. You get locked up. I've done that before. I've done that. I did that the first time that I was executive director back in the 80s. And I would come into the office sometimes and I would just see the stacks of paper in front of me. And I would sit there and literally get locked up. I could not move. I couldn't decide, what do I do first? How do I handle this? There's so much going on. There's so much taking place. And I would just get so frozen because it was so overwhelming. I don't do that today. That's one of the decisions I made second time around as CEO at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. I allow the Lord to lead me. I allow the Lord to guide me. I allowed the Lord to show me what to do. I refuse to get overwhelmed. I refuse to get overwhelmed because I refuse to be stressed out. That's a choice. It's a choice that every one of us makes, to be stressed out. And I just refuse to do it. I want to live long and strong. I'm right behind Brother Copeland for 120 years. Here we go. These are things we're talking about that all show us how to live to be 120 years old. This is turning into a seminar on how to live to be 120. Cast the care. Walk in peace. All of those things we've been talking about. Well, when things pile up, we attempt to accomplish everything in our own strength and ability. We attempt to accomplish everything in our own strength and our ability. If you're not in the Word, and if you're not in prayer, then that stuff will get all over you. It'll be overwhelming to you. It's like, what am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? And it's just one thing on top of another, on top of another. And you get over into the place where you feel like you need to do it out of your own strength and your own ability. And what happens is we take control of our lives and relegate the Holy Spirit to His corner. That's what we do. I got this. I got this. Lord, I got this. I got this. I can do it. I don't need any help. I can do it. And this is what we're talking about in this session today. We overcome stress by receiving help from the Lord. Help! I need somebody. Help! Not just anybody. Help! I need the Holy Spirit now! Say this after me. My help comes from the Lord. Say it three times. My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. We overcome stress by receiving help from the Lord. As opposed to saying, Lord, I got this. I got this covered. I can do this. I can do this. The Lord showed me a lesson. I shared it with you one time. The Lord showed me a lesson and really taught me something about receiving help from others. Because I was really like that. I was really in a place where it was hard for me to receive help from others. And the Lord really, He cured me of that disease. And this bears repeating if you've heard it before, but I went out one day, Terry sent me out to get hamburgers. Because we had people at the house, there was some project going on, and she sent me out to get lunch. So I went to this place to get hamburgers. I went in, ordered the hamburgers, and I ordered the drinks, and all this stuff is piled up in my arms. And so as I was getting ready to leave, the girl behind the counter said, would you like some popcorn? Oh, yeah, popcorn. That sounds good. So she filled a little bag of popcorn. I was so excited because I had it all planned out in my mind. I was going to eat up that bag of popcorn before I got home. No one will know. No one will know. Anyway, so I was so excited about my popcorn, and I had all of this. I mean, my arms were full. So I get to the door. She says, can I open the door for you? I said, no, I got this. And what I did was I turned to the door and went bang. I opened the door like that. And I backed out, and I went outside, and I went to the car. And now I'm trying to figure out, because I locked the car, and the key is in my pocket, so what am I going to do? So I take the stuff, and I put it on top of the car. I reach into my pocket to get my key, and a great wind blew. A great wind blew across the restaurant. And if you could see this in slow motion, I literally saw my bag of popcorn lift off, turn, catch the wind, and I saw it blow all over Boat Club Road. There goes my popcorn. And the Lord said, George, this is a teachable moment right now. He said, had you allowed that girl to help you open the door and help you bring the stuff to your car, you would right now still have your popcorn. But no, no. You had to say, I got this. I got this. I can do this. And the Lord said, the next time somebody wants you to help you, let them help you. Because that'll train you and help you. The next time I want to help you and you say, I got this. So it was a really great life lesson that I have not forgotten. Even to this day, when somebody says, can I help you? Even though I think I can take care of it, I receive the help. And some of you are not receiving help from the Lord. Some of you think you've got this. Some of you think you can do it in your own ability. And you are not built in yourself to handle all the stuff that's coming at you by yourself.
Amen.
Anyway, you weren't. Say, my help comes from the Lord. I want to take a look at a few scriptures with you. Turn to Psalm 33. We're going to walk through this together. Psalm 33. You can mark these scriptures down. The Lord will help us. He will help us. In Psalm 33 and verse 20, it says, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. I was just going through some of these yesterday just to remind myself, I've got help from Him. I've got assistance from Him. Look at Psalm 46. Keep going down the road of Psalms with me. Psalm 46. Psalm 46 verses 1 and 2. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help and strength. in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. It says, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and so forth, I will not fear. I will not fear. But it says, he is a very present help in trouble. One of the translations, I think it's the Amplified, says, well proved. Is that right? Maybe not. Does it? Does the Amplified Bible say well proved? Thank you. The Amplified Bible says well proved. Anyway, so God is our refuge and strength. He is a very present help in trouble. All right, look at Psalm 124. Psalm 124, and I'm looking at verse 8. Psalm 124, verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Praise God. We have the name of Jesus. That is a help to us. It says in verse Psalm 33, he is our help. Psalm 46, a very present help. Psalm 124, our help is in the name of the Lord. And turn now to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. I like this one. Isaiah 41. And verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Say, I receive that.
I receive
it. I will help you. Say it. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Okay, now, after I say each one of those things, you'll say, I receive that. Heartily, strong. Right, let's practice. Say, I'll receive that.
I'll receive that.
Okay, fear thou not. Fear thou not.
I'll receive that.
For I am with thee.
I'll receive that.
Be not dismayed.
I'll receive that.
For I am thy God.
I'll receive that.
I will strengthen you.
I'll receive that.
I will help you.
I'll receive that.
I will uphold you.
I'll receive that.
With the right hand of my righteousness. See, we're practicing receiving the help of the Lord. He wants to help you. He really does. He wants to get that load off of you. And I am just so amazed. I am amazed. Since I had that experience with the Lord, that popcorn experience day with the Lord, I have just totally relied on Him. I'm just looking to Him all the time. All the time. And I am so thankful for what He does. He puts thoughts in my mind about things that I need to be preparing for and doing. I mean, it's like the Holy Spirit is always there. He's reminding me. He's a coach. He's telling me, do this, do that, do the other, get ready for this. Don't forget that. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. I need all the help I can get, but I've got all the help I need. Bring it on home, son. Bring it on home. Turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Glory to God. Are you getting something out of this? If you're not, you can leave early. No. Hebrews chapter 4. Here's the Amplified translation. This is a wonderful scripture. I so just relish in this scripture. It says, Hebrews 4:16 Amplified. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near the throne of grace that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need. Appropriate help, well-timed hope, help coming just when we need it. Now, doesn't that bring relief to you? Isn't that wonderful? And first of all, it says, we can come to the throne of grace and receive mercy for our failures. That's great. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that. We can receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need. He's got grace to help for every need. Everything. 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 He's got it. He's got it for you. And it says appropriate help. Appropriate. Have you ever had somebody give you inappropriate help? It's like you have to redo it once they're gone. No, he does it right. Maybe somebody came over to do something in your house, to fix something or paint something, and you're standing there looking at it going, I'm going to have to do that myself all over again. No, God does it with appropriate help, well-timed, good timing, coming just when we need it. Now, let me kind of digress for just a moment here about the help of the Lord. He will do it in so many different ways. It's amazing. It's amazing how He will get help to you. He uses people. He will use people to help you. He will deploy someone to be there for you at the right time. Have you ever been stranded on the side of the road or something has happened and somebody happens to come by? Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me. Have you ever showed up for somebody at the right time? Let me see your hands. It's amazing. It is amazing the strategy that God has, the orchestration that He has in bringing things to us and helping us. He's all about helping you and me. He's all about that. And when you know that, you even, whenever you're doing something at the house and maybe you're getting ready for a big party and a lot of people are coming over, big gathering that's coming to the house, and you're having to do this, that, and the other, and all of a sudden a few people call and say, hey, can we come over and help? You're like, oh yeah, can you come now? Oh, we'll be right over. Isn't there relief? Like, help is on the way. Help is on the way. The Calvary is coming. Help is on the way. So I was thinking about this just Friday. Friday, Terry and I went out together. We spent some time with her mom. And then we were actually sitting there apart going, where do we want to go? I mean, we looked up movies. There weren't any movies out there to see. So we're just sitting there. We're parked, sitting. And it's like the first time in, like, seems like weeks that we've ever looked at each other and said, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? So it wasn't time to eat yet because we had just eaten. That's something to do. So what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? So I think it was you that said Steinmart. We like going to Steinmart. Has anybody ever been to Steinmart? We like going to Steinmart. It's very relaxing, actually, because there are no people trying to sell you stuff. You can walk around. Just the music is. But anyway. She goes to the ladies' section. I go to the men's section. That's a good thing. Anyway. So she goes over there, and she's shopping for stuff, and I go to the men's side, and I find out what stuff is over there for me, and it's just really relaxing. And so we were, and then there's somebody that we knew there, and we were talking to this person. She was talking to that person. Now think about the orchestration of the Lord. It's pretty amazing. Orchestration of the Lord. So we're doing all of that. And so she gets finished. I get finished. I find the man chair. So I sit down for a while. And then she comes out. And like this clock in heaven is ticking. So we check out and go to the car. And then we sit there and we go, well, are you hungry? Yeah, I'm hungry. You want to eat? Yeah, I want to eat. Where do you want to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to eat? You want to eat? So I said, and I remember saying this, I said, let's go to the cafetorium. I don't know why I said cafetorium. Cafetorium. Let's go to the cafeteria. Because we like going to the cafeteria. Does anybody like going to the cafeteria? What's the cafeteria? The cafeteria. We go to Luby's. We go to Luby's cafeteria. Yes. Yes. I feel like, though, they could really appeal to a younger audience if they just change a few things. Like if they had a guy with guitar playing music live at Luby's. If they changed the decor a little bit, maybe that could bring in a different audience. Anyway, so we decided we were going to go to Luby's. And so we pull into Luby's, we get out. It's like 7:45. They close at 8:00. Maybe that's one reason why young people don't go there. Think about if Luby's was open till 1. What a place that would be. So, probably not. Anyway, so Terry's like, hurry up. No, bring it on home, son. Bring it on home. Okay, I'll get closer to my Bible. So I'm standing there looking at all the food. Really, how many do go to Luby's? Any hands? A few? I like it. It's good food. You like? I like it. Anyway, we're looking at all the food, and I'm going, ooh, I'm hungry now. I'll have that. And I'm standing there looking at it, and all of a sudden, I feel these hands wrap around me. It was David Ellis. Look at this. And we just embraced each other. Oh, we were jumping around embracing each other. He had just come back into town. He stays at the hotel over there, but he decided that he would go to Luby's first in order to get something to eat. Do you see how amazing the Lord is? The orchestration and how Terry and I are way over here and David's way over there, and we don't know it, but the Lord is bringing us together. He's bringing us together into a divine appointment with each other where we'll be able to sit and talk and just enjoy each other. Of all the people! Yeah. Of all the people! The Lord put us together at the same time. That's the help of the Lord. And that's available to you. Come on, give the Lord praise for that. Say, that happens all the time. Praise God. Let me begin to wrap this up. I'm feeling like I need to wrap it up. Musicians, come up here. You'll help me wrap it up. That'll encourage me. Look, the musicians are there. They're playing loudly. I guess I need to go. One more scripture. Can we do one more scripture? One more. If you promise, we'll turn to one scripture, then I'll read one scripture. I won't make you turn to the other scripture. Okay. John 14. Why am I so giddy today? Because a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Ha, 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 ha. Okay, the Holy Spirit. Hello! I was just talking about you. Did you hear me? We had such a great time together. Wasn't that something? I mean, when I saw you, it was like, David. That was like Jonathan and David. David! David. It was such a great time. So the Holy Spirit is our ultimate helper. In John 14:26, I shall read it to you from the Amplified Translation. It says, but the Comforter, and then in parentheses it says, Counselor, Helper, say Helper. Helper. Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things. He will cause you to recall, will remind you of and bring to your remembrance everything that I've told you. And the thing that really stuck out to me was the Comforter. The Comforter, who is the Counselor. He is there to counsel you. He will counsel you on the inside. He is the Helper. He will help you. He's the Intercessor on your behalf. He's your Advocate, your Attorney, your Lawyer, your Strengthener. I'm strengthened by the Holy Spirit. He's my standby. He's right there. He's right there to help me with whatever I am going through. The Holy Spirit indwelling. Holy Spirit is there to help us. All you have to do is ask. I'm telling you, all you have to do is ask. When you reach those points, when you feel like you're overwhelmed, stressed out, you say, Holy Spirit within, show me, reveal to me. Show me how to do this. Show me how to get this done. It may be a worst case scenario. He's handled worse than that. He can handle anything. Anything that you're going through, He is our helper. And I promised you I would just read this next scripture. It is Romans 8:26. But those of you who want to turn to it, you feel free right now. This is a bonus scripture, I tell you. Romans 8:26. It says, yes, ma'am. I heard that. Freak out. Watch out. Oh! Bring it on home, Pastor. Bring it on home. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Praise God for that. Boy, you must be hungry. Anyway, Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered in the Greek in articulate speech or praying in tongues. But look at that. The Spirit helps our infirmities. Well, I looked up the word infirmities, and the infirmities in the Greek is weaknesses. Weaknesses and, listen to this, a lack of strength and health in the soul and the body. That's what an infirmity is. An inability to produce results and to bear trials and troubles. Look at that. The infirmities, those are the infirmities. The inability to produce the results that we need to produce and to bear the trials and the things that are going on, the troubles that are around us. But the Holy Spirit is there to help us. He's there to help us. He's there to help us. Come on, Pastor, preach it. He's there to help us. Oh, give it to me, Pastor. He's here to help us. Good job, Pastor. Whoa. He's here to help us. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Woo. He will help our infirmities. Help our infirmities. Help our weaknesses. I looked up the word help. Do you want to know what the word help means? Okay, the four of you that said yes, come meet me over here after church and I'll tell you what it is. Help means to partner with, to collaborate, to give assistance and help in obtaining. And listen to this. It means to take hold together with us against our weaknesses. It means to take hold together with us, to partner with us, to collaborate with us. When you and I pray in other tongues, we are tapping into the help of the Holy Spirit. He wants to help you. And when there is help, there's no stress. Do you receive that today? Yes! Yeah.